This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, it is Friday, May the 27th. I thought we'd come on and just be in great moods and so excited, and Rangers have a chance to close it out tomorrow, but no. But I am excited to share this news with you. Apparently, Rick DiPietro is, in fact, wearing pants today, so that's good news for everybody. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Business Friday today. Business Friday. Got a lot to talk about today. I got some great news. Great news, going to put a smile on your face.
Really?
Santi, can you give me the jazz hands? I need the jazz hands.
Big news, jazz hands! don't you taunt me with this. This better be, because I don't know what this is. This better be big news.
Oh, this is huge news.
All right,
huge
news. Let me see. Let me guess. Does it involve the show?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, no.
No. Does it involve someone who appreciates the show?
No.
Does it involve... Oh, I know what it is. Do I know what it is?
You might.
Does it involve tickets?
No.
Oh. I have big news with tickets, by the way.
Well, I know you got... This is humongous news.
Big news with tickets.
Humongous
like
news.
Like Andre the Giant size news with tickets.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, it's that big.
So your news is as big as the news I will give after your news.
It's big. Yeah, it's big news for you.
For the news you have is big news for me.
Big news for in our relationship.
In our relationship,
yes.
You're going to or have done something which is kind towards me.
That's correct.
Wow. Now this is terrific. I don't know. I'm going to need a hint or just to be told what this big, beautiful news is.
The birthday present will be delivered today. I had email notification. Your birthday present will be delivered today.
Okay, I'm glad you told me because we would have been here till 8:15. I would have never been able to get there. But really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is exciting news. I can't wait for the big birthday present.
Well,
now,
either.
Is this the 49th birthday present or this is the 50th birthday present?
By this is the 49 and a half birthday present.
Because birthday was in March. Well, I'm approaching 49 and a quarter. No fault of your own, by the way. We had some issues.
We had some issues. Package got misplaced. We don't know where it's at, but it's going to be here today. Email confirmation.
I'm going to send you immediate text upon receiving this.
Please do.
Immediate text.
See, that puts you in a nice mood, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but I could be in a better mood. I mean,
I told you yesterday what was going to happen last night. I tried to warn you.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean that I can handle it well. And when they tied the game, and then I thought they took a 2-1 lead, I got so excited. I wish that never happened. I wish Strome hadn't beaten Ronta. I wish Ronta would have just saved it, stayed 1-1, because to have the thought of, oh, my God, we're winning 2-1 in a low-scoring series. We have a real chance now to win this game. I mean, from the moment that goal was taken off the board, the Rangers almost had no chances to win the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was you were hard-pressed that entire game to feel like they had an actual chance to win the game. And when I saw that play, actually, initially, when I saw it, when they reviewed it, they didn't give me the live, it looked like Carolina brought the puck back into their own zone. But they weren't showing that angle. So I actually rewound it to see just to make sure. And that's when they remember when they went back to the headset?
Yes.
They had initially ruled it no goal, and then they went back to the headset, I think, because they thought that there was a chance that maybe Carolina brought the puck back into their zone, which would nullify the offsides. It wasn't. It was, you know, Panarin that hit it back into their zone. But, yeah, I mean, things probably would have been different. But, I mean, Carolina was definitely the better team.
They're clearly the better team. Yeah. And I got to tell you, as pro-Rangers as I am, and as how difficult it is for me to, like, notice good things with Carolina, and as annoyed as I am and was over another shorthanded goal, that was some goal, that first one, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you were... It felt a lot like game two, is what that game felt
but
like.
But that pass was just...
Oh, it was a great pass. Yeah, it was a great
gorgeous.
Pass. It was an early slide by Miller. I actually like it as a goalie because I have more time to get to my post on that backdoor play. But good pass, good finish. It's tough, though, man. I mean, because on top of that, you give up a power play goal, too. I know you got a power play goal, but that's not great either, that finally Carolina saw a puck going on their power play, which has been putrid.
No, certainly not. And that's your game-winning goal. I mean, they had no opportunities. None. I mean, that's the thing. Their defense
shots
is stifling.
Well, you had 10 shots through two periods, man. 10. That's not going to get it done.
When a goaltender allows one goal in a postseason game and doesn't get one of the three stars, it tells you how little he was challenged during the game.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. I'll get all the numbers this afternoon, probably when they go they go through the game as far as high danger chances and everything else. But I can't imagine there's a lot.
For the Rangers, I could tell you that there's not.
It felt like they fell back into the it felt like game two where they fell back into like the kind of passive, let's go 1-2-2, let's make sure we're not giving them too many chances, as opposed to what you saw in 3 and 4 where it was like, you know what, screw it. We're gonna play our game, it's gonna be up and down the ice, we're desperate. If we give up chances, we got Igor, don't worry about it. It didn't feel like that. It wasn't crisp.
It didn't feel like that. I can't believe that Carolina is so great at home. I mean, great, undefeated at home, and winless on the road.
Yeah, and it's not just winless, though. It's, like, startling how bad the numbers on the road are.
So, they
got a good crowd. They get an early lead. They ride that momentum. You can see, too, when they start playing physical, they feed off the crowd. The crowd starts going crazy, and then there's another hit, and then another hit. And they put constant pressure. Rangers didn't deal with it nearly as well as they did at the Garden. Wasn't crisp. Didn't get through the neutral zone.
You know what? Again, I mean, Panarin again. I mean, I don't. The one play made me almost like want to just kill him. When he's in his own zone,
he turns it over
up ice and just passes it, throws it right into the middle, and they walk. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, Miller bailed him out. That was Stahl. Yeah, he's been in one a little bit. Like I wonder if we find
out that he's hurt.
See, I don't even know if it's that. It's just, I mean, this is one of those series where you got a team that's fast and physical, and they take away a lot of your time and your space, and you can't, like, he likes to be patient, take his time, doesn't like to shoot. I mean, it's another game last night where he has no shot. I mean, he has no shots last night. Kreider has no shots last night.
Kreider had
that chance
where they threw it in front late in the game, and it looked like deflected it wide. But yeah. I think this is right. You'll know this. In three games in Carolina, Kreider has one shot on goal.
It's not good, yeah. But this is, again, and we were talking about this yesterday. I was telling you, this is what this team does. They did it to Boston. Like, Marchand in Boston was great. That line in Carolina did absolutely nothing. Nothing. So now Carolina is 7-0 at home.
And 0-5 on the road?
0-5. They've allowed 8 goals at home in 7
games. 7 games.
7 games, 8 goals. On the road, they've allowed 21.
Like, for you to allow shorthanded goals... When it's nearly impossible to score in the series, I mean, how can you possibly win games like that?
No, you can't. You can't. You cannot do it because you're right. I mean, you know going in that you're going to have your hands full just because this Carolina team is a completely different team at home. And for it to be, because I can guarantee you this, the style of play that they're most successful with, is it's much easier to play that style when you have a lead. So for you to give up a shorthanded goal as the first goal of that game.
And it's so deflating.
Exactly right. Except for a bunch of different reasons. And now all of a sudden Carolina feels good. They're flying. You had 5 shots. I mean, you have 5 shots in the first period, man. 5 shots in the second period. That's not going to get it done.
Because you realize what has to happen to come back in the game. Like Edmonton-Calgary, You allow a shorthanded goal. You're like, all right, listen, we can easily make that up. We can make that up on the next shift. In this game, you allow a shorthanded goal. you might never make it up. I mean, the rest of the game might go by and you might never make it up. And that's what happened, right? Shorthanded goal. Then you tie it up and you're thrilled and you have a little momentum. And then you think you take the lead. You don't. They scored that second goal on the power play. I mean, you think about specialty teams, which has been very pro-Rangers in this series. That's the second time they've scored a shorthanded goal.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, and what it does too is now, I mean, you scored the power play goal, but now you're even because you gave up the shorthanded. They get a power play goal. So now you're minus one there, and then you have... Yeah, I didn't think Fox was very good at all last night. You have Svechnikov, who finally gets going, which is not a great sign either. And for some reason, Igor is, I mean, he hasn't been nearly as good on breakaways in the postseason as he has been for the regular season. But again, I mean, you can't ask him to, he's not going to be able to steal every game for you.
He's going to have to, I think, well, he's going to have to steal one. He's going to have to steal one. So you like, don't love, you like the Rangers' chances on Saturday night, which will be an 8 o'clock game, mind you. We'll have the coverage at 7:30, an 8 o'clock game. You wouldn't think he'd have to steal that one. And he's going to have to go down in Carolina on Memorial Day night and play a great game.
That's it. I mean, that's what you're saying. I mean, you saw it after the game, too, with some of the with some of the Rangers interviews. Even Gallant's interview was, you know, this is our worst game of the series so far. I mean, but we're not going to carry it with us because we know, you know, just like Carolina shrugged off the two bad games they played in New York and came out and played well in this game, we'll do the same. Because for some reason, it's been like this all season long. It's you get down or you're, you know, this Rangers team, for some reason, thrives in situations like that.
Yeah, yeah. And we talk about all the time how resilient they are. You mentioned Gerard Gallant. We have Gerard Gallant. Not actually live in person, but we have sound of one Gerard Gallant. Here he is saying it's disappointing to play game five like that.
Again, I talked about the first four games. All those games could have went either way, in my opinion. I thought our last game in, at home was a game like tonight where we didn't dominate as much as they did tonight, but it was our best game. So tonight I'm disappointed. We didn't play our best game, and you know we got to win one game and hit a win the series. So hopefully that's game seven, but we got to be better than we are tonight. Again, we weren't quick enough. We weren't strong enough. And, you know, we can make excuses about them clogging up the neutral zone and all that, but we just didn't play our game. We weren't competitive enough tonight.
You know what I like about him? He's a no-excuse guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had him as assistant coach when Ted Nolan was our head coach. And that's, I mean, Ted was the same. Teddy was the same way. It was, you know, I'm going to treat you guys like pros. I have a, you know, certain expectations. This is what I, you know, what I want it to look like. And, you know, it, when push comes to shove, you know, if we don't go execute, then what am I going to do? There's no reason to make excuses. We weren't good tonight. And plus, you don't want to start heaping a bunch of praise on Carolina. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Carolina played a great game. They figured that out. It's better to blame it on yourself. Listen, we weren't, you know, we were tired, whatever it was. We were, you know, we weren't finishing checks. We were reaching with our sticks. But I have confidence that they'll be much better tomorrow.
I would agree with that. And that being said, they were, what was it, 8 inches, 10 inches away from being onside and scoring that goal and taking a 2-1 lead, and then who knows what happens?
You never know.
Right? No. If I tell you Rangers are up 2-1 15 minutes to go in the second period, you like your chances there. I mean, the game could have a completely different complexion.
Yeah, but I don't know about that. Because you could sense the urgency from Carolina for the entire game. It's like they know they stink on the road. And if they don't lose, you know, if they don't win this one, I don't know how much they love their chances in game six. So they had to win this one to guarantee they'd be back at home where they were comfortable. So there was a sense of urgency. But they had, I mean, you had Aho hitting, you know, crossbars, like Aho wide open in front of the net, hit the post. Like there was a lot of, Carolina was carrying the play.
I don't know if the better team.
A 2-1 lead stops that.
Well, maybe not. But you know what? Maybe they're a little more aggressive and you wind up with a 2-on-1. I mean, you don't know what happens in that situation.
No, I don't. No, listen, I don't. But I mean, I said the same thing about game four with that save Shesterkin made on Pesci. Like, who knows what happens if Carolina all of a sudden scores the first goal and they can you know, get right into how they want to play and they get some confidence. Like, the game could have been completely different. But Shesterkin makes that save and the Rangers have... Yeah, game four was probably their best game of the series.
It absolutely was. Might have been the best game of the whole postseason. All I'm saying is that being taken away, and I don't know if the players felt it, it felt deflating to me. Like
They're almost used to it, though, at this point. Like, these challenges always seem to go the other way.
Every time. Like, well, now, it was the right call. I don't even think it was up for debate.
Yep.
But the second they went, before I had seen it, I was like, they're gonna overturn this. Like when I saw Carolina's gonna challenge, I was like, they're gonna overturn it because that's what happens to the Rangers.
That's what happens. You got what you deserve though last night.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. Just saying, it's boy, this is emotional stuff, man. This is a lot for me to handle.
Well, it's because we were talking about this yesterday when I was up in Bristol with Weeksy and Chelly. It's so hard in these series because you would just naturally think that, like, Carolina being as good a team as they are, that, you know, they would take some momentum on the road with them. Like, oh, we played two great, you know, we played two great games at home. I know Madison Square Garden is a tough place to play, but how can we look so good in these two games and so bad in the next two games and then get pretty much dominated in game four, and then just in a snap of a fingers, you step on the ice in Carolina, and it's a completely different team. Like you morph back into one of the best teams in the league.
I have no idea. Now I want to start breaking it down, but I got to tell you, if this goes south for the Rangers in a game seven, the play you will remember forever is Kako missing the wide open net in game one. All right,
I'll say Kako open net, and then your interview with Jack Wagon, who said this home ice thing is a fluke. We just set a record, you know, right? Like that was the record last night.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what to tell you. All right,
how do you call it a fluke?
We need to break. I mean, I subtly said we need to break. I all right, I don't want to get into it, but and then here you go, just opening it all up. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I can't get over that call. All right, it bothered me all day yesterday.
You know what we do? We sweep. We take a break. We come back. We have like 40 minutes before we have to break again. We can play the whole call if you want, but just for now, I need to break. Might I break now?
Yes, let's go to break. Come on, you're killing the clock. Let's go.
Oh, I'm killing the clock.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How about Buster Olney just destroying Santiago yesterday?
Oh, I felt bad too.
I told you that's garbage music.
Santiago respects Buster, so Ghostbuster Olney. And came. That's the nastiest thing I think I've ever heard Buster say.
Because it was terrible. Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, that's when a bit goes too long. You know what I'm saying? Like, just
look, it just can't be worse.
It's so bad.
I wonder what kind of music Buster listens to.
The tequila song, fine. But
I like your version better.
Yeah, my version's nice. But when you start playing some of their other stuff and it's just repetitive and continuous, it's not so good. Except tequila!
It's not your cup of tea. That's fine. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't be surprised if next Cinco de Mayo, you're hearing that all over the radio.
My version.
You want to drink some tequila?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to argue with you.
How funny would that be?
If I give up the radio, you think I don't have a future in singing?
Well, so I think it's more than just singing, though. I think it's more like a Vegas residency is what it is. It's singing.
Really, you think like Caesars would just want, listen, can you move in?
You want to drink some tequila?
I think you feel a Del
Let's have tequila together.
I don't like the second verse.
I think you do some singing. I think you do some Stump Rothenberg.
Oh, imagine that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like an all, It's the best of many worlds.
I'd be like David Blaine.
Yeah. You're not doing magic though, are you?
Not yet.
Well, you could, maybe.
I mean, who knows?
You made your giblet go away.
Yeah, my giblets went right away.
Your giblets.
So I don't know.
Where did I get giblet from?
I haven't
got enough sleep.
I've never heard the word giblet, in fact.
I didn't get home till like 11:15 last night.
Wait, what?
I didn't get home till like 11:15 last night.
Then you, wait, hang on a second. You called me at like noon.
Yeah, I didn't get home till like 11:15.
On your way to Bristol.
Yeah.
The show, I thought you said, was at 5.
It was at 5. Didn't get over till 6.
Right.
Then it was, we had a birthday party. Our producer had a birthday, so we had we had cake.
So, I mean, not only do I feel hurt, RJ must feel away, Raymond has to feel away. You won't see us for anything, but they're having birthday parties, and what else did they do? Were there pinatas, pin the tail on the donkey? How far did it go?
No, this was not a Buck Showalter situation. There was no pinatas. No, we had a nice cake, and then they decided.
So at 6 o'clock, you have cake. That doesn't translate to 11:30.
Yeah, and then maybe there was a little get-together. We hung out, and I talked to Weeksy and Chelly for a little bit. By the way, did some work for the show. Fan of the show, Steve Levy, said he'll call in whenever we want, if we would like that.
How often does he listen? He's locked in?
That's
locked
Raleigh, in. Not Raleigh.
Is that where he got that from, by the way, this show?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah. Big fan of the show. Loves him some Dave Rothenberg, said he'll call in whenever we want. And then for some reason they decided to do the old construction where they shut down two lanes and we're down to one lane.
What time did you leave Bristol? I want an. There's no way you left before 8 o'clock.
No, I did not leave before 8 o'clock.
All right, so you watched the first period of the Rangers game up in Bristol.
Correct.
And then at the end of one, you got in your car, you started your journey home, and you got home at 11:30.
Yes.
Now, did you listen to the game on the way home?
Yes, I listened to it, and then I watched it. Watched the second two periods this morning at 2:30.
God bless you. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. All right, so. Here's our news, and then we'll get to the Rangers' calls, 1-800-919-3776, and hear more from Gerard Gallant. Honestly, this is big stuff. We have, not just us and the K-Show, Rangers.
Well, Michael and Don, really.
Right, Michael and Don. We have Rangers tickets to give away. We are giving away a pair in the 6 o'clock hour. And a pair in the 7 o'clock hour.
Like that kind of party.
Oh, I love that kind of party. This now
I think
is.
I think we do a question today, though. I don't think it's just you be calling number three. I think we do a question.
You want to start really making a meal out of this thing?
I mean, this is an elimination game. This is game six at
it
the
sure is.
8 o'clock start.
This is prime time for the country to see this game. Yes.
It's standalone. We're giving you the whole day. We're giving you a reason to go into the city, have dinner. You go into a game. I mean, this is your night out.
We really are. Because you can have a go around the garden. You can have a 6:15, plenty of time dinner, and then make your way over to the garden on tickets we're supplying you for tomorrow night's game, 8 o'clock, drop of the puck. It's got a big game feel. If this game's at 3 p.m, it's like, all right, listen, it's a big game, but it doesn't have that same feel. 8 o'clock, Madison Square Garden on a Saturday night. That's big time stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing. There's no excuse, right? Like, you, kids, baseball, whatever you have done, errands done, whatever you need to do on Saturday done. You're home. You're at. If you could win the tickets, you're in the city having dinner. Oh my goodness, place is going to be electric.
Rangers win now. You get now. I mean, God knows what you do.
Now you go for pizza. Maybe
pizza
you go see
and then
ladies.
More.
Maybe some naked ladies. You never know where the night's going to take you.
No, you don't.
You go
know.
To underground casino parlors. Right? Could be parlors involved.
Could be. You don't know what you do.
We'll
so we have a
naked
pair of
ladies.
Tickets. Pair of tickets in the 6 o'clock hour and the 7 o'clock hour.
My goodness.
And how about this? The K Show has four pairs of tickets in their show today.
I like
four.
Hey, you know what game is pretty fun actually? And I play this doing I did a radio hit last year, maybe. Was it last
Ringo
year?
Livio.
No. What they do is rather than ask like a trivia question, what you do is you say, okay, I want you to take Keandre Miller's number minus Shesterkin's number.
You have to
number,
do math on the fly?
And you have to know the numbers.
Those are facts!
Equals which player?
So I'd say like Keandre Miller minus Artemi Panarin, and now you're this is probably a bad example for you, but now you're working with 69, right?
Yeah, probably not the best example for me.
Yeah.
50.
And then add 10.
60.
Then divide it by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No.
The Yankees have played 7 doubleheaders this year, Don and Peter. That's 14 games. What do you think their record is?
6-1.
I hate math.
I'm not a math guy.
Well, clearly. Clearly. So what do you, RJ, how do you feel about that? That we play some kind of a game to give away these tickets instead of just, if you're caller number 6.
I love that game.
You like that game, right?
Love it. Because there's really no way, and we put a time limit on it.
You can't Google it, really.
Yep.
And we don't give it to them prior. We take them on the air, and then we give them the names, and then they do the quick math.
Might be the most ridiculous question I think you've ever asked in your entire life.
No, I just want to confirm. We're not saying, all right.
Hey, Bobby, just so you know, we're going to give you this number plus this number minus this number, so you're ready when we get the...
Unlike yesterday, it'll actually be useful questions.
That's a good point.
What does that mean?
The questions serve a purpose now.
He's in a way today because the company attacked him, so he's very upset.
The company hates him right now.
Hates him, despises him.
And no one, memes. By the way, no one loves the company more than I do. No one.
Stop, please.
I mean, these are my people.
Please love me.
Have you heard they made a brand new questionnaire?
Well, they had to because Cullum decided to come air out the entire questionnaire yesterday.
Well, you know, it's fine. They're one happy family, and they are going to go after Santiago. I wouldn't be surprised if Santiago got roasted this morning on the morning roast at 6:45. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm almost expecting it.
I think he welcomes it.
I think he loves it.
Yeah, I think he does.
Who cares?
I think he does as well.
Sounds like you don't have trustworthy chickens.
No, you don't. The fact that you don't, people that have devoted their lives to us, Raymond, the fact that you don't have the ultimate respect for them it's hurtful.
Listen, I gotta make this clear. It's not a lack of respect. I love the fact that they're devoted listeners. I think that's fantastic. It's a great thing, the company. I just don't appreciate the fact that you're gatekeeping using, you have to answer questions and fill out an application. Like, seriously?
Well,
if you want to be part of it, you should just be part of it.
No, they're not saying to be a fan of the show. You have to start jumping through hoops. But to be part of a select company, the company, there are things that need to be done.
It's just not for Ray.
Then you don't do it.
Who gets to make those choices then?
People in the company. There's
a board. Founders of the company.
Self-appointed
like
people.
It's like the founders of the fan club, right? I mean, it's not just being a fan of the show. Like, if we need people savagely attacked on Twitter, that said the company jumps in.
Right. They have our backs. They're like the Secret Service for the show.
Exactly. With by far the best nickname of all.
Oh, the company. Just the best. All right, let's get to some of these calls, and then we'll hear more Gerard Gallant. Let's go to Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah. I knew for some reason y'all would go straight to me on this one. I was wrong.
Do you want to go back on hold? Put Kenny back on hold.
No,
Kenny. I went to you early. I saw you there. Put him back on hold. What is that about?
See, this is what I'm talking about. Now you're on a power trip. You should have just let Kenny have his say.
No, it's not about what.
Kenny said they were going to win in 6, so he was going to take a piece of humble pie. He was going to admit he was wrong, and you hung up and you put him on
hold. I didn't hang up. He's right there.
You put him in the corner.
I think it was obnoxious the way he, I knew you'd take me now.
Why don't
you now because I didn't want to make you hold forever, but you can go back on hold. It's fine.
Santi, could you imagine if he reprimanded his dogs the way he reprimands callers?
They might actually listen to him.
They might actually respect him.
Why do I get
and not use the living room as a bathroom?
You want a dog, by the way?
I feel like you lash out at the callers because you're so frustrated with what's going on with the dogs.
It's very possible. I mean, it is. It is very possible. I mean, the fact that if we had one, it would be so manageable. Getting two is so dumb.
So dumb.
But you made that decision.
I didn't. My wife, and it's hard for me to say no to her. So I'm like, this one's great. Let's get this one. How about we get two? They're brother, sister. They're adorable. I'm like, really? Yeah.
Why even go, though? Why even put yourself in that spot? You have two beautiful kids that have travel, baseball, and lacrosse, and everything else.
Nonstop.
You like to go to Aruba.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you like to do, and then you just you saddle yourself with two dogs.
I don't know.
It's like my dad just did the same thing. He got a dog. He's in the 70s.
But one dog is fine. Two.
Not if you like to travel. It's not as you don't have one of these foofy little dogs that you can take on the plane as a travel companion.
Oh, a travel companion. They would take down the plane.
But these animals would.
Oh yeah, no, they're out of control. Let's go. Let's see if he's ready now. Kenny in Jersey. Good morning, Kenny.
You know what? Dave, I'm going to disregard you this morning because I'm already on edge, and you're just trying to push my buttons. So I'm going to talk to DiPietro on this one. Pete, I was wrong. I thought we was going to take him out yesterday, and I knew we would close him out in the Garden in Game 6. I had full confidence in that, and I was dead wrong. But I still think we're going to win. I still think we'll win it in 7. I think we'll definitely win the next game in the Garden, and then we'll get lucky and we'll win that 7th game. No matter what Dave thinks, and no matter how Dave treat us callers that love him and call him every day, we're going to win this thing. It's not going to be in 6 games, like I said.
Don't threaten me with the Rangers.
I love you, Kenny.
I would love the Rangers to win.
This is why I'm the man of the people, Dave, and you're not, because you're nasty to poor Kenny.
No, I'm not nasty. He came on. He's like, oh, I knew you'd take me. He was like, challenging me, so I had to stand up for my rights.
Hey, Dave, me and you have been going at it for years, actually. I mean, we've been going at it since I started listening to sports radio with, like, Bill Daughtry days. And you've been going at it that long. Yeah, he was the best. And I've been dealing with Dave and his nonsense for years.
Don't be mean to me.
I'm not mean. Dave, you're being mean to me this morning. You started with me. I just said I knew you would take me first because you knew I would call in and tuck my tail. Because you know I'm a stand-up guy. If
you
I
are
say something
guy.
And I'm wrong, I'm going to get in front of these million people you guys got, millions of people, and I'm going to admit I was wrong. But I still think we're going to win.
I hope you're right. Kenny,
most definitely.
I hope to God that you are right. I don't want you to be wrong. I want you to be a genius.
Kenny's a great caller, and you're
a great caller.
This is
I don't think I did anything
like
wrong. He came on and challenged me, and I put him in timeout for a minute, and then I brought him right back.
No, he didn't challenge you.
He did.
It felt like a
challenge.
No, because you took Kenny because you knew what Kenny was going to do, and you wanted to hear it.
What, a mea culpa?
Yes. But to Kenny's point, like, Carolina also realized that going into that game, if they lose game 5, they're not going to love their chances going into the Garden for game 6.
No, they'll probably get run out of the Garden.
Yes. So,
but here's the thing. So explain this to me. How am I or any Rangers fan supposed to feel good about a game 7 in Carolina?
Well, you can't. You've scored 2 goals in 3 games in Carolina. But I will say this, though. I mean, you saw what I gave you Andre Vasilevsky's numbers in closeout games. You do have Shesterkin, so maybe
you sure
maybe one would be enough. I mean, not much he's going to do about, the couple, you know, maybe he'd say the breakaway just because it's a breakaway and it's just you and the shooter, but, I mean, the 2-on-1 pass was a beautiful pass.
What a pass.
And then Rooney got lazy with the stick. I didn't like that on the PK. He got lazy with the stick. Teravainen is sniped. You can't give up that seam like that. You can't give up the seam like that, especially. You can't let that power play start going now. Now all of a sudden they go, oh, we got a power play goal. Look at us.
Well, let's hear from Gerard Gallant. There's some strong statements here from Gallant. Our worst effort of the series.
I think it was a lot of us tonight, to be honest with you. I didn't think we played our game at all. I thought we were reaching with sticks all night instead of finishing checks with the body like we did the other nights. To me it was the worst game in the 5 games so far in the series. You know, they pretty well dominated that game tonight.
I don't even think it's close. Like, I think that, like, one, they should have, certainly could have won. Two was close, right? They had a power play for 4 minutes and they allowed the goal. 3-4, they win. 5, that was not good.
No,
that
but even
not
I, the only reason I point to game 2 was because I felt the same way about how they were playing. It felt like in game 2 they were playing, they were trying to play a style that doesn't really suit them. We're going to sit back, we'll be passive, 1-2-2, and then we'll try
aggressive.
To capitalize on their mistake.
Go after
that's
it.
How they have to play. But I think that's why
get chances.
But I think that's why they're so good when their back's up against the wall or they're trailing in a game because they can just throw caution to the wind.
Because you know you have potentially the brick wall back there.
Exactly right.
Yeah. More Gallant. We just didn't match Carolina's effort in this game.
It was a group effort. It really was. I mean, when we win, we play well. It's pretty well a group effort. And I thought tonight it was just
a total team that looked tired. I really, that's what I believe tonight. We looked tired. We weren't quick as them, and you know, they got beat two games in their building, and they were, you know, we knew they'd be ready to come out playing hard tonight and play a fast game, and they played really well, and I just didn't think we matched that tonight.
So isn't that a concern though? If you look tired,
No, you just that you look tired because they were energized. There was more desperation from them.
Why?
Well, because they know going in that we can't afford to lose this game. It's not
right, but I know going in that if I win this game, I'm going to wrap it up at home.
That's different, though. It's different. They just lost two games. They realize if we lose game five, we don't like our chances in game six because we haven't won on the road yet. So it was, that's almost – it's obviously not an elimination game, but that's how you get yourself hyped up. Like, we have to win this game. Whereas the Rangers can go in, okay, let's, you know, we'll go out there, we'll play our game, and we'll see what happens. But we know we got game six at home.
Right. We have something to fall back on. I wish to God that the Rangers would have had the lead at some point in that game.
That's a grueling schedule, though. I mean, it is. Playing every other day and with this kind of intensity, man.
And remember, both of these teams are coming off seven-game series in the round prior.
Well, plus, too, I mean, different kind of seven-game series, too. Like Carolina, it went seven because they stunk on the road, but they were taking care of their business at home.
Right, they never trailed in the series, yes.
The Rangers had to fight tooth and nail.
Yes. Tampa must just be sitting back with their feet on the couch just loving this, right?
Well, with the amount of hockey they've played over the last couple of years, absolutely.
Yeah. But they're going to have how long? When did they close out their series?
They swept.
Monday, right?
Yeah, that's
so they're going to wind up with 10 days off.
Yeah, so, I mean, and one of their best players has been out, so we'll see what happens with him, too.
Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was watching the game last night. It looked like two different teams. The Rangers looked like they were in slow-mo, and I just think they got outplayed and outskated. They gave themselves no opportunities and really no shots on goal. I don't know what happened.
They got outplayed. Listen, they got outplayed. It happens sometimes. I mean, Carolina has already shown you that they're capable of doing that when they're on home ice. And if you don't come out with your best game, you're gonna have a hard time, because Carolina shows up at home with their best game. You let them score first, which was a problem, especially because it was shorthanded. You weren't crisp at all. You weren't coming out of your zone the way you did in game four.
But then you had the goal. Pucks deep. You had the goal, and God, if that second goal wasn't taken away, I would love to know what would have happened.
But yeah, maybe you're right. I don't think it would have made a huge difference. I don't think it would have made a huge difference.
Really?
Yeah, just Carolina was buzzing, man. I mean, yeah, it would have been great to have the 2-1 lead, but they still, I mean, they were hitting posts, crossbars. It just felt like they...
So it was only a matter of time?
They deserved to win that game.
You know, I agree with that, but you never know.
No, you never know. Listen, obviously you'd like the 2-1 lead. Obviously, we'll see what happens. Maybe that's the switch finally goes off, like, okay, we got the lead. Now let's pick it up. But I thought Strome was good. I mean, as far as you know... The guys you're looking to step up, I thought Strome was pretty good last night.
I need the best players to play like the best players.
They can't, because, Dave, it's hard, man. We were talking about this yesterday with the matchups. Like, you got to get creative. Like, you got to say, you know, hey, Mika, okay, you're going to, I mean, they obviously, Stahl's going to try to shut you down. I'm going to need you to be ready. I might double shift you. I'm going to throw you out, like, midway through a shift. Just try to get you out there, get you freed up. But that Stahl line, man, especially because the Rangers don't win many faceoffs, that's tough.
Or any.
Well, yeah, and the other thing, too, is if you're not crispy getting out of your zone, you're spending, 15, 20, 30 seconds in your own zone. By the time you actually get possession of the puck, you're already gassed. Right? So you're not having extended time in your offensive zone.
No, not at all. Dan Massapequa. Good morning, Dan. You're next up.
Good morning, guys. Two quick points. I think Gallant went to the line changes a little too late. I think he had to recognize early in that second, that it wasn't working. And my second point is, Rick, any thought of dropping Panarin, maybe moving Kako and Lafreniere up onto Strom's line?
No.
No. He's not giving you anything. Nothing.
He's one of your best players, man. You're right with the guys that brought you.
But he's not. But he's not playing like your best player, Rick. He's not.
I understand that, but he's still your best player. They got Kako on the fourth line. Should Kako be on the fourth line? No, I don't think Kako should be on the fourth line. Because that kid line was going.
Why'd they break that line up?
I like Hedl up with Kreider and Zibanejad, because I don't think Vatrano's giving you anything. And I think if you put those two young kids next to Strome, even if it's for a couple shifts, just maybe to wake up the cobwebs of Panarin, because he is literally giving you nothing that you can hang your hat on.
You got to know the player though. Too Dan. I mean, he's going to still be one of the quarterbacks of your power play. So now all of a sudden you're going to embarrass him and move him down the line. I don't know if he's the kind of guy that gets motivated by that or it.
Okay, but how long do you? What do you wait? You wait till the second period of the sixth game where you're down 2-1 to shake him up? I mean,
they're not going to shake him up. They're not going to. You're going to go back. If anything, you can go back to what's comfortable.
So you'll die. We'll die with what you got here.
Yeah, well, you go back to what's comfortable, like the line. I mean, the lines that have been working that got you here. You'd go back to something like that just because you know those guys are comfortable in those spots. I'd put the kid line back together. The kid line had been your best line.
I was going to ask you, why'd they break that up?
I think they decided that they felt like the kid line minus Kako would be better defensively. Spread it out.
Mm-hmm. They really miss Goodrow in this series.
Oh, big time. Goodrow. I mean, you're missing Blay, who I thought he'd be perfect for playoffs, and then Goodrow, who's already a Stanley Cup champion. Yeah, of course you miss those guys.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time. But, you know, on Panarin, I mean, it's not even like he's been non-existent. He's been bad in the series.
It hasn't been good, no. No, not when you watch... Not when you watch some of these other series and see what these, the best players on their teams are doing.
I mean, you look at the best players. They're dominant. Like teams are winning because of them. The Rangers are having to win in spite of Panarin.
Yeah, well, there's different levels too, right? I mean, it's just that it's how your game matches up in certain series.
Yeah, but it wasn't great in the first series.
No, it hasn't been. It hasn't been what you hoped at all. Yeah, he's supposed to be one of the best players in the NHL, and he's not.
He's not played like that.
No, I mean, he's not at that. Like, when you watch McKinnon, what he just did in that last game and what McDavid's done the entire playoffs. And yeah, I mean, can you get through a couple? Can you win a game because you have the secondary guys step up? Yeah, you can win a game. There'll be times when your top guys get shut down. But you got to start when you're winning series against good teams, your big guys have to show. Your best players have to be your best players.
They absolutely have to. All right, we'll get back to the Rangers a little bit later. 1-800-919-3776. Let's switch over to the Yankees. Boy, I got to tell you, I've joked about it in the past. Like, Cortez is the ace of this staff. Cortez might be the ace of the staff. I think he, and I'm not saying in a five-game series, seven-game series, he's your game one starter. But if you ask me right now what pitcher I have the most confidence in on the Yankees, I think it might be Cortez.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's not your game one starter, but you feel damn good about your game two starter. I can tell you that.
I mean, he's gone from like a nice story to he's a stud.
Dude, stud. I mean, you've already seen that, but I mean, his ERA just dropped to 1.7. It's 18 consecutive starts he's had, allowing three or fewer runs. 18.
He's sensational. And it's such a great story, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's like, it's just, he's so easy to root for. And I'm sure his teammates feel the exact same way. Like this unheralded guy that's been, all over the place. Now he finally gets a legitimate chance, last season, steps up. Was this a fluke? And then he's just been lights out.
He really is. I mean, there's not a lot to say about him. He's just been, there's no negative things to say.
And
he's phenomenal.
And you know what the best part is too, though? And the reason why I love watching him pitch is because there's nothing really like dominant about him. It's just, he goes out there, he can locate his pitches. He knows what he wants to do.
He always has guys off balance though. Everyone's always off balance. He has to throw harder than it appears that he throws. Like guys are always late.
It gets on them quicker than they think, yeah. But he's always doing stuff, though, too. It's like the stuff that you try in Little League. I got to change my arm angle. I got to quick.
I'm going to quick pitch you. I'm going to go from a different angle. I'm going to change speeds. I'm just going to frustrate the hell out of you, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
No. And listen, with where they're at right now with the injuries, you got, I mean, and I know Yankees fans weren't shedding a tear when Hicks couldn't play, but, Hicks, LeMahieu, Stanton, like all the injuries that they're dealing with. I mean, hell, they pull Matt Carpenter off the streets.
Put him in the lineup.
Yeah, exactly right, with a beautiful mustache, by the way. But
you don't think so.
A gorgeous mustache.
No, stop it.
That's a gorgeous stop.
That thing was awful.
It's terrific.
When I first saw that, I was wondering if he had to register with somewhere. Like, that was a brutal looking mustache.
Well, what happens though? You can't have full facial hair, so you got he can only go mustache. So he probably, you know what? Screw it.
Got a mustache.
It's brutal.
I'll go mustachio. Why? Nestor Cortez has a nice mustache too.
I think Cortez's mustache is nicer than Carpenter's mustache.
Well, listen, my preference is Carpenter's, but that's fine. We can agree to disagree.
I think Nestor has that's a mustachio. Carpenter's is creepy. It's creepy. I'm sorry.
Can we get back to what we were talking about, praising
Nestor Cortez? I saw many mustachioed men at the, quote, bridal shower. That was when RJ went to a bridal shower with men.
Oh, you are such an idiot.
I really am.
You really are an idiot.
Why were there mustachioed men at the bridal shower, though?
Because that's a new thing, though, right? RJ, that's a new thing, right? The guys come to the bridal shower, too?
Yeah, you guys came up in a good era where you were kind of left out of these things. That's not the case anymore.
No, you're fully involved now, right?
So you had to go to the entire bridal shower?
Too much involvement. I don't think anybody was there a group of people clamoring for more involvement? I'd like to meet those people.
Yeah. Right, how did that turn?
Honey, I'm not
for me, it was great.
Enough.
For me, it was the shower happens, and then I show up at the end to help bring gifts home.
That was my understanding of how I went.
But that's the last thing. I love your eyeliner and your mascara.
Well, nobody there is interested in anything I have to say. It's not my moment.
No, not your moment, and it's not your people.
So you question why I'm even there. I question why I was there. I bring little.
You fertilized the egg, didn't you? I mean, maybe you show him off.
I bring little value to the situation.
Maybe he signed some autographs.
Rangers, huh?
Yeah, anything. Yankees. You know what? I thought maybe for a minute we could have some fun, but no, you can't. You're the kid on the playground.
That was fun.
You're the kid on the playground. And it's like, okay, kids, go out there and have fun, and then you're pushing other kids down.
That's what it was.
Like, all right, fine. You know what? Now I got to take my kid home. Let's go.
I thought I was adding to the fun.
RJ, let's go home.
Yeah, your idea of fun is, we're having a good time. You know what we should do? Light something on fire.
Yes, that's true.
That's you.
That is true.
Or you're the kid on the playground, and now you're exposing yourself. It's like, all right,
I think that's Pete, though. No, that's more Pete than me. I think Pete was the bad influence, not me.
No, it's obvious that it's you. Or Pete has rubbed off on you that now you have become that guy.
That's what
it is. Nestor Cortez, very, very good. How about that, RJ? Very, very good. So I ask you, I know what they'll do, but right now, who's the better Yankees pitcher, Cortez or Cole?
Performance-wise, I think, I mean, especially with how consistent he's been this whole season, I would probably say Cortez.
Yeah, Cortez is the better pitcher.
That's a nice one, too, though. You talk about... You got, I mean, stuff-wise, too, right? Like, just how different that would
be more on opposite ends of the spectrum. With your guy who's going to overpower you and a guy who's just going to kind of confuse you.
Get a guy coming from the right side who's overpowering, got nasty, filthy, high-velocity stuff, and then game two, you see, his stuff is definitely on you faster than the radar gun pops, but completely different styles. Guy can pitch too, which is I like that.
He's a pitcher.
He can pitch.
He really is, and that's it. That's a big win because you look at that lineup.
He's unique too nowadays with what you see, like what you see coming out of the bullpens.
Everyone throws 100. I mean, right? A reliever that doesn't have huge arm is throwing 97. He's a pitcher. You know what he's like? He's like what I would expect the 1950s were like. Like you need him on a Monday, you got him. You need him on a Thursday, you got him. You need him on Saturday, you got him. You need him for 8 innings, you got him. You need him for an inning and a third, you got him. Like he's never gonna get tired. He's gonna go out there. He's gonna just pitch his face off, and he's just terrific, and he's easy to root for.
Right, he's almost turning into like the Yankees version of Bartolo Colon for us.
Yeah, but he's better.
No, but yeah, he's better. But it's still like it's everything. Like you just.
Like folk hero-ish?
Yes. He's like he's eating an apple on the bench, and you hear Coney, the legend of Nestor just continues to grow. It's just like you can't help but root for the guy.
But how great are the Gerrit Cole is, you know, was from the time he was little, was just this prized product, right? Goes to Pittsburgh, supposed to be great. Goes to Houston. He is unbelievable. Signs this 200 and God knows how many million-dollar deal with the Yankees, right? I mean, the pressure on him. You even know who Nestor Cortez was.
You had no expectations at all for Nestor Cortez. None.
And now this guy, it's like it's a legitimate discussion. Who's the best pitcher on the Yankees? Forget about that. If you rank the best pitchers in baseball right
now,
Nestor
Cy Young
Cortez
conversation,
is up there.
Right? He's in the Cy Young conversation in the American League right now.
Is he in the conversation, or is he right now he's the Cy Young winner?
I don't know. Verlander's having a pretty good day.
No, he really is.
Yeah, he really is.
What is he, 39?
He's old.
He's kept young, I think, by his wife.
That's what I mean. And also, he's one of those Brady kind of guys, though. He takes really good care of his body.
Yeah, but he's coming off missing last season.
I know. He's 39 years old. 39.
Coming off, and he had an arm injury last year, right?
He had Tommy John.
Right. So that's really remarkable. That being said, I mean, Cortez, you could argue, it wouldn't be a stupid discussion to say he's the best pitcher in baseball right now.
You could make an argument for it, yeah. He's been that good.
Look at the lineup they trotted out there last night.
No, I know, but that's why I said it was how important it was for him to make sure that he went out and pitched well. And that's exactly what he did.
And as concerned as everybody is with this Yankees team, and they're going to fall apart, and 31-13 doesn't feel real, and Tampa's, you know, they win 3 out of 4, and look out. Well, you know what? You now need to win 1 out of 3 to tread water in this series. I like those chances.
I do, too. My only concern with him is innings.
Overusing him?
Well, no, just your ability to use him, right? Like, this is a team that's going to try to win a World Series.
Of course.
I mean, he continues to pitch well. He's the guy, like, you have, you know, obviously going to lean on Gerrit Cole, but as far as once we get past Gerrit Cole, who do you trust? And if it's going to be Nestor Cortez, I mean, the most innings he's ever pitched in a season is 93.
Wow. And what is he at right now?
53.
Wow. That really is a big difference, huh?
It's a humongous difference.
So you're looking at 53 through 2 months, right? Because he won't make another start this month.
He's gotten through 9 starts.
So
you're looking at, like, if he stays fully healthy, you usually, like, your pitcher, like, what, around 32 starts?
So he's looking at, I mean, and that's before you get to the postseason, he's looking at upwards of 200 innings.
So, I mean, that's a big difference.
His entire career,
he's thrown 225 innings. His whole career.
That's got to be the only concern about him right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the only concern has got to be overuse. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. But what can you do?
No, I mean, you try to find. I mean, try to find creative ways to make sure that he's.
But you know what happens if you take him out after 6 last night? People have a nervous breakdown, and rightfully so.
Well, I'm not even saying that. Yeah, but you can skip him, whatever you have to do.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.